Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis, tonight on Whiskey Business. If you want to play bocce, you got to have balls. The Bocce Brothers, tonight on Whiskey Business. Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis, and welcome to Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Thank you once again for joining us, and thank you to Evergreen Podcast Network for being our podcast family as we delve into yet another rabbit hole here on Whiskey Business. Let me just tell you something right out of the gate, people. You may have figured this out over the countless number of podcasts that we've broadcast, but I'm not an athlete. I don't have a lot of athletic prowess, per se. There was a short amount of time in my life where I thought I could play basketball, and I actually did play basketball, but my grandmother wouldn't sign a permission slip to let me play basketball, so I never was able to figure out if I had that ability and could make it turn into something exceptional. We'll never know. And then I found bocce. Bocce. I belong to the Columbus Italian Club, and I was resistant even for that. I was, when I first joined the club, I didn't play the first year. In fact, I waited and played the second year, and even then I was reluctant because I saw these fellow Italians taking a game so seriously, and they had style and finesse, and when they would throw a ball, it would be so pitch perfect at times, and when they messed up a ball, they would get so much shit about it. I mean, it was that kind of a game. And I'm like, do I need this in my life? Do I need to start a sport where I can be praised or humiliated all at the same time? The answer is yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, I did. And tonight on the podcast, we have the Bocce Brothers, which if it seems like it's all about bocce, that's not necessarily true. So we're very excited to have both Chris and Dante Lovell on the show tonight to talk about the Bocce Brothers, the game of bocce, and as we do on Whiskey Business, a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. We'll do some business first, then we'll get to the guest bottle. You want to do the guest bottle and then the business?
I just knock out the business while we're
talking about it.
Evergreen Podcasts, evergreenpodcasts.com. Check out all the huge array of podcasts.
Yeah, thank you. Evergreen Podcast Network.
That's what I was going to say.
From A to Z and every particular category you could think of.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well said. WhiskeyBusinessPod.com is our landing page where you can find everything you need to know, archived episodes, videos, there's pictures, there's writings and blogs and stuff Dino's put up, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and on Disney Plus.
No, not on Disney Plus. That's a lie.
Crackle.
Uh-oh. That's a new one. Crackle's a new one. Disney Plus before.
Crackle is, I actually watched a couple minutes of a new Nick Cage movie on Crackle about the USS Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Did he try stealing it?
Yeah, he tried to steal it.
Was it a new Nick Cage movie?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's really bad.
He's still out there, huh?
He's still, yeah. That guy's great. You know, he's like, okay, sure, I'll do that movie. he's at that point of his career. Or you know what? I digress.
No, I watched it because it's the Jaws. You know the scene in the Jaws where he's like they're under the.
It's about that.
Yeah, you know
particular
when
particular time.
Yeah,
with the U.S. Indianapolis when they got hit and they were all in the water. It's
yeah,
about
and they all got
moment.
Eaten by sharks.
Oh man, there's a great book about that too that came out a couple
there you
of years
go.
Ago.
Well, so. Or you can just watch the movie.
Nick Cage is a great actor. I mean, I know he's done some shit stuff.
I
late,
love him. He takes his roles serious.
But he commits.
Yeah,
he commits
without a doubt.
And I think he's gonna pop up into something here in the next few
years.
Isn't
he a vampire? Isn't that what they say?
He's been a lot of things.
A daredevil, right?
Yeah.
He's like a skeleton.
Real life vampire.
There's an old photograph of a guy that looks like. All right.
He's a Coppola, right?
Con Air.
He's a Coppola. He's related to the Coppolas, and I'm sure that's a... whatever the case might be. Okay, there's one rabbit hole.
All right.
2 minutes into the podcast.
We're out of time, boys.
You are the Bocce Bros. Thank you.
Our guest bottle tonight is Timber Creek Reserve, Florida, unfiltered bourbon whiskey. Do not judge a bottle by its label. My brother-in-law gave me this a while back, and I uncovered it when I was like, what are we going to drink tonight? Do I got to go out and get something? And I found this and went, huh. And surprised, because, you know, I am kind of a we've gotten to be kind of snobby over the bottles and over the years, and anytime we get a bourbon that's out of Kentucky, you know, we start to raise some eyebrows. But then again, we have our own wonderful bourbons that are made here in Columbus, Ohio, Watershed and Middle West. You know?
You got your own bourbon, is that right?
Well, we did one through Watershed. We had a whiskey business selection, which will be coming out
there
shortly.
You go.
So yeah. So
stay tuned.
Yeah, it was a nice little plug for you.
Comes from the part of Florida that's known as the Redneck Riviera. Florida's Emerald Coast, close to Destin, Florida. There's actually a bourbon out there called Redneck Riviera too, as well, if you want to. I've never tried that one yet. But this Timber Creek, you guys have had a little sip of it already.
Mm-hmm.
The regular Timber Creek is corn, wheat, and barley. This one is corn, wheat, and rye, which will give you some of the spicy, peppery that you probably tasted.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also kind of sweet. I don't know what Florida corn is, to be honest with you.
It's in us.
It is.
But they founded this distillery in 2014, so what we're drinking is relatively young bourbon for the most part. It's got a kick to it at 100.3 as far as the proof. And what they do a little bit differently is they actually crack the grains with a roller and separate the husks, where other people may actually just common method is to crush the grains and the husks together. They actually take this, and they said that they felt that gave them a little more control over the taste of this bourbon. And
it's not very bitter, so I can see why that.
No, yeah, it's yeah, got that, it's that, got that, some that. Sweet. It's oaky and it's spicy. And I when I first tried it earlier this afternoon, I picked up a little bit of orange, a little bit of zesty orange in it. So I think it'll serve us well this evening.
Salute.
Here's to a good podcast tonight with the Bocci brothers, Chris and Dante.
It's bad luck if you don't touch.
Oh yes, I'm so sorry.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
And drink afterwards too. You gotta take a sip. You can't toast and then not take a sip.
I don't think I'll ever forget to drink.
Yeah, that's the easy part.
During the toast. Yeah,
right.
That's the easy part.
Right. So the Bocci brothers, was it founded by you two initially?
I would say somewhat. So in 2019, we entered the Columbus Italian Festival Bocce Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best Italian festivals that I've been to. And I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, which is full of Italians. When we entered a team in, it was me, Dante, our older brother, Rob Lovell. He's also a member of the club, and Chuck Malagisi. So we're all from Youngstown. We're trying to figure out our idea for our sweatshirts that we're going to wear. Long story short, we came up with this sweatshirt.
Youngstown Bocce.
Correct.
Simple.
Direct.
Nice.
Says a lot. You know, makes a statement.
Yeah. Very simple.
Bocce. Youngstown.
Right. And while we're at the tournament, everyone comes up and they're like, hey, where'd you get your sweatshirt? And we just said, you know, we're from Youngstown. We made it. Didn't think anything of it.
A year later, we go to the MVR, famous restaurant in Youngstown, Ohio, Mahoning Valley restaurant.
Yeah.
And we're at a Youngstown tournament. One of our first tournaments we're in competitively. And we're wearing these crew necks, and about 40, I kid you not, I'm not even making that number out, about 40 people asked and pre-ordered one of these. So we basically were like, well,
we're taking orders.
We're in the t-shirt sweatshirt business.
Yeah. And it wasn't until our buddy Anthony Cugini, and Chris can finish off.
Yeah, so while we were at this tournament, a few people asked us, and we're like, hey, why don't we just say we make them and we'll take some orders down, right?
So, cash up front, please.
Yeah, I mean, it just
Italians taking advantage of an opportunity.
Hey.
Yeah, that sounds odd.
Right. So,
hey, you know what we should do?
So they didn't get any of their sweatshirts. We just kept their money.
No.
But while we were at that tournament,
never go back to
you. Yeah, right. Yeah. We're banned.
Make it till you make it.
A good friend of ours, Carmen Marinucci, runs a Youngstown Bocce account, and he started kind of promoting it on his page. And then when we came back to Columbus, our other bocce bro, Anthony Cugini, who is a little bit more analytical, business-minded, said, hey.
You need one of those.
Why? Exactly. Especially us, because we're kind of sporadic.
Yeah.
We'll find out. He's like, hey, why don't we start something? We've always talked about what business can we run, like what could be our little things that we enjoy. And long story short, we decided to start the Bocce Bros.
So the Bocce Brothers isn't just a social media website, which is, by the way, it's a great one. There's a lot always great pictures and great stuff. The Bocce Brothers is actually a business entity?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, we are a LLC, if you will.
All right.
Official business.
I will.
We're in the official business of bocce.
The official. And what does that all incorporate? That's the official business of bocce.
I would say that's something that we're continuing to iron out. So we're about a year into this. And originally it was, hey, let's just make some shirts, go to some tournaments, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
I had a college football podcast that maybe three people listened to, including myself. I had all the equipment for it. And I was like, guys, you know, we know so many people in this community already. Why don't we start a podcast? You know, I'm thinking all kind of media, hit it from all angles, right?
Sure.
So social media, vlogs on YouTube, YouTube videos, and now we're looking at podcasts. So, you know, over the year, I would say it's kind of, we're just, I guess, trying to figure out what our niche is and, mm-hmm. and our ultimate goal. Eventually, and why we started the Bocce Bros and made it a business was because our goal is to build our own bocce bar. Mm-hmm. And maybe have several of them. Mm-hmm. If you go down south, there's pickleball bars all over down there.
Right.
And I was like, I haven't played pickleball since gym.
Gym, right? It's nuts. I actually follow a couple accounts on Instagram watching it professionally. It's pretty intense.
So let's
retired folks are like super into that now.
Right.
Because it's
that's
like
right.
not, it's like not, too,
not yep. too much. It's not tennis.
Right.
And it's not, but it's more than badminton.
Right. Right. Yeah. but it's not too lame.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And it's a little more than shuffleboard. Yeah. yeah. But it's.
You can still drink while you play.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, if you could. Let's talk about bocce itself as a sport. For those that might not be initiated as to what the concept of bocce is, the history of bocce, and why it seems to be, and I'm assuming in your opinions, to be increasing in popularity. I mean, I see a lot of places here in Columbus that have bocce courts, some Italian places, some aren't Italian. Some mm-hmm. are just, you know, just have the bocce courts. So let's talk about that for a second, the history of bocce, where it started. Obviously, I'm assuming it started in Italy. Is that true?
That is not true.
That is not mm-hmm. true.
It's technically one of the oldest sports. They claim it's the oldest sport. Some YouTube or Google mm-hmm. pages, excuse me. It definitely has to be around there because when you think about it...
Was it the Egyptians?
The Egyptians.
See, whenever it's not the Italians, I always go to the Egyptians.
Yeah. Right.
whenever the Italians or the Greeks haven't invented it, God damn it, I bet you it was the Egyptians.
No, ancient alien
they were great.
Bullshit.
They were great. They made pyramids. Of course they came up with bocce. Go ahead. Anyway,
No, you're right. 100%. You said it much better than I could say it. The Egyptians started it. And if you think about it, you just made some balls out of stones. You know, you have a small ball and you try and roll as close as you can to it. So that's initially how it started. We should probably learn a little bit more about how it evolved into the game that it is today. I don't know if
you would be. They didn't invent it, the Italians, but they definitely made it more popular. As from everything I'm reading, is the Italians have made the game a little more popular. However, with that being said, it's not just an Italian sport. We know a lot of Slovaks that play it, Croatians from all around. Because we actually have the option. You know, we have this Italian flag on our shirt, but we know that the game's not just for Italians. So,
but why does it seem to be perceived as an Italian game?
I believe there's more. It's more popular in just in the Italian culture, in Italy, 100%. And when you have the Italians, that
I mean, if I was starting a business, I would say that. Everybody loves it.
I think
not just Italians,
especially in America, because you had so many Italian immigrants come over here. They started their own Italian clubs,
mm-hmm.
Italian social clubs, and they probably thought, "Hey, how can we get people to be more active, similar to what we're trying to do at the CIC with tournaments and bocce tournaments and stuff. How do we get more of the members active and come here just to hang out and have fun, right? Get away from life, get away from their everyday work life, especially back then when a lot of them, where we're from in Youngstown, worked in steel mills and just needed some time away. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, I assume that's what occurred, is, mm-hmm. is a lot of these clubs started forming and they created their own bocce courts and leagues. And they just so happened to be Italian.
How many years you guys been at in the Columbus Italian Club?
2016.
So five years, yeah.
5 years?
This fall.
Yeah. And I've been there, Jesus, I've lost track, 15 plus years.
Former president, former president, everything. You've been
former through. Sergeant in Arms, mm-hmm. Vice President, President.
What's the guy that orders all the liquor?
Sergeant in Arms.
Yeah, that's the guy.
I was that last year.
Yeah, right. Nice job.
And he did a fine job, yeah. I might
add. To be fair, it was the COVID year, so I had no rentals to deal with. We renovated the club. So
you did a good job.
I got to thank you. Not just me. I had a lucky, you know, a nice crew of young guys to help out, so it was fun. No doubt.
Yeah, I inherited, I don't know what I inherited when I came, but I just, you know, Jamie Sanfilippo will tell you that he got rid of all the plastic bottles initially, and that's probably true.
Yeah.
And then I came in and kind of changed some brands, mm-hmm. and, you know.
Got the big TV?
The big TV came in when we painted and everything. Yeah, we bought the big TV. Yeah, yeah. Now that seems ancient now.
Right.
Is it a tube?
No. It's a big flat screen. It was as big as you could get at the time.
Yeah.
But, I enjoyed being a sergeant at arms. Yeah. I took it very seriously, as you did as well. Mm-hmm. And everybody that came after me took it very seriously. Yeah. So that's it's probably... forget being president.
Right, I'm saying that seems like
forget being president, and vice president, sergeant
like
arms.
I said it at the last board meeting. I was like, "This is a thing." You know, no one. The only one who could do the job is someone who works from home, doesn't really love their job, or someone who's retired,
right?
Or doesn't have a job.
And I was none of those at the time. If you're a shitty sergeant at arms, you're gonna have a shitty year at the club because things aren't gonna get done. Mm-hmm. It's a massive responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, but. Kudos to you, my friend. You did a great job. You know, I was disappointed that you didn't run again.
Hey, next, is, you know, we're right around the corner. Who knows? Maybe next year.
Maybe next year you'll
another run at it.
Needed a rest.
Yeah,
an off year. Needed a break.
You had to focus on bocce, bro.
Yeah.
Right.
So but my point, kind of being a long way around, is that guys like you and your brother, who have been in the club for 5-6 years, you've kind of elevated the level of bocce at our club, as far as the courts, which have always been a source of frustration, mm-hmm. anger, debate, as to how they were built and how they need to be restructured and reconditioned and so forth and so on. But where we stand right now seems to be a fairly decent place. I'm sure bocce bros have even more ideas as to what to do with the courts here at the Columbus Italian Club.
Yeah. But, you know, a good example of that is just, like you said, the level of play. We've mentioned this on several podcasts just because it is a driving point. When we first, you know, joined the Italian Club, being from Youngstown, there's styles of play in bocce, right? Mm-hmm. There's people who just throw it, you know, soft, try to bump out, and then there's hitting, you know, which is more popular in Youngstown and other areas, but it's you're running up past, you know, shooting it hard and knocking it out.
Yeah.
When I did that, everyone stopped playing and turned and looked. But we did it, and everyone just looked at us like, what are you doing?
What the hell is
why
that?
Why are you throwing it a million miles per hour? We're like, huh? Like, this is how
you do it.
Yeah. This is how you do it. We at first felt awkward to do it. We were timid. We're like, oh, should we do this? Should we not? Luckily, I had a former Youngstown Youngstonian, Chuck, on my team, Al Jeezy. And he's like, just, you know, go for it, you know? And then 5 years later, there's people asking us, hey, how can you come show us how to shoot? Or we see them practicing on the off days shooting.
And how to shoot. Because I remember when I went up to the MVR, we would take these bocce trips up there on a regular basis every year. I didn't go this year or last year, but I would see what do you call them? Youngstonians?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Youngstonians.
I just said it. I think that's right.
Italians in Youngstown who were just laser beaming and dead on. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, they knew exactly where they wanted to shoot that ball, and I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not how we play bocce. That's not how we play bocce.
No finesse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a good bocce player, but I enjoy the game. You know, yeah, I enjoy the camaraderie of it. I'm not a great bocce player. I'm not even a good bocce player. I have good moments and I've been a captain for, you know, a lot of different years.
I remember you, you know, commiserating about the captain.
Explain
picking,
that.
Picking the team. And,
explain that, how, like, what are you captain of? You're not just, like, you know, picking who you
He's
want.
He's
got to
pick the team, right?
You're bidding.
Well, there's a, there's a
bidding. Yeah. But I'm also bidding. See, I look at it from the social aspect. I'm getting guys on my team that if we, no matter if we win or lose, we have a good time.
Rick Napoli, my guy.
Rick Napoli. Yeah. Rick Napoli. And actually, and Ricky loves bocce. He takes it very seriously. Mm-hmm. So I actually, one year, I told him, I go, I'm not going to bid on you because I want you to try to get on a winning team.
Selfless.
I'm going to put friendship aside and let you try to actually get on a winning team. And then I got him back last year, and we sucked. Yeah. You know, we had a couple. We had a nice little run there for a minute, and we didn't get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we had fun.
Yeah, right.
And that's all I care about, you know.
So that's kind of what we're trying to figure out right now, right? So when we go up to Cleveland or Youngstown, we're playing against these teams, like you said, that can pinpoint each shot where they want. And they might not be enthused if you have beginners coming in to play in your league, their league or tournament play. However, you have guys like, you know, like you just said, you enjoy having a few beers and playing bocce. Right. I think most people fall under that category. So we're trying to figure out how to grow the game and socially, but also competitively as well, because we see how much fun these games are competitively, not only to be a part of, but to actually watch. So we do some streaming on our YouTube page. We actually just invested in some cameras, and
bocce is going to change the way you view it.
Yeah.
In the next coming months,
right?
It's like bowling. I mean, you know, most people are just want to go and drink beer out of plastic cups and throw it, you know. But then there's people who are so legit.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is we grew up bowling from like 4 to 19.
Oh yeah,
were you guys bowlers?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Our dad every Saturday morning we'd wake up and go bowl. And then as soon as we come home,
9 a.m.
Yeah,
you go to bowlers. What's your average?
My highest I got was a 201.
Get out of here.
That was I bowled a little longer than my brothers though. I bowled actually until I was like 19. They stopped around 15.
What's your average?
It was around 190 or so.
190.
Yeah.
I think on a good day I cracked 135.
Yeah, I might get triple digits on a good day.
I think my average is like 104.
Yeah.
It was funny though. We'd go bowl. Our dad's Irish.
I can't play anymore. I can't even fucking bowl.
You're lucky you're funny, goddammit.
And we're going to have a break here.
You're good at drinking and talking. I mean,
I'm good at drinking. If that was a sport, goddammit, I'd be an Olympian.
Right?
In which I'm going to bring up here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Here, but that's we'll save that one. That's a little tease for a conversation in a moment here.
There you go.
But go ahead, yes.
No, I was going to say, our dad's English and Irish, basically. So he was the sports guy, always made us play football, basketball, baseball, bowling. But the point was, as soon as we got home, our Italian mother would be ready with a mop, rags, and any cleaning utensil she could find and say, all right, now you're mine. And it was so we went from having the time of our lives to having to clean the house.
So what was that like growing up? Because, you know, your last name is Lovell.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really ring Italian. And now you just told me your father was Irish, English, and
little Dutch in there. He's a little mixed.
Okay,
yeah, but mainly English and Irish.
Okay, so how was that growing up in a mixed ethnic family like that?
We loved it, and what was nice about it, so we had our big Italian side. I mean, we knew our 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th cousins, right? I mean, every holiday you had 50 people there. Even now, pre-COVID, we had, you know, 30-some people. It's great. And with that said, you go to my dad's side, and we have just as many first cousins on our father's side than we do on our mother's side. So it was even though it's English-Irish, it's still, you know, a pretty big family, and we were always close with those cousins.
But how great is that? I mean, to be able to embrace the Irish-English culture and the Italian culture, both, it's kind of like the best of both worlds.
100%. Our dad kind of jokes with us because he's like, remember, you're English and Irish too, you know? Because, you know,
we don't celebrate St. Patty's Day. You know?
You don't?
You know.
No, we do. But, we definitely know more about our Italian heritage than we would our Irish and English, mainly because our grandparents were immigrants here.
Yeah. And probably, I think when you're growing up in a mixed ethnic family like that, I really do think it's who works at it the hardest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As far as the influence goes, right?
Yeah.
You know, because for me, it was more Greek, you know, it was more about the Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
The Italian part went by the wayside. And so, you know, I wish I could speak Italian as well as I speak Greek. Mm-hmm.
You know, so your grandparents were like off straight off the boat,
yeah.
basically. And did they spoke Italian, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Did they teach that to you when you were kids or not really?
No, you know, I think it's funny, generation to generation. I think they wanted us to be more Americanized.
Yep.
Especially my mom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they grew up with bringing the big lunch meat sandwiches that are this thick and everyone else right. had like a snack pack and right, a banana, right?
No, it's true.
Me
it's
growing true. Up, I wanted the Italian sandwich. We kind of starve to learn more about our that culture.
The reason I ask is that's the same thing. My mom, her grandma was right off the boat but would not speak Italian to her and teach her because she wanted yeah. her to be American. Mm-hmm. Especially that was another generation ago where it was even more racism and you know just different you know oh, yeah. like you want to expunge all of that yeah. from right. your heritage not embrace it.
Yeah, I remember, you know, like having, we were just talking about the sandwiches, you go to school and there'd be a kid with a bologna sandwich and you know and you probably you know, what's that? That's prosciutto. For what? And I remember having like a chunk of feta cheese in a container
nice.
That you know my mother would pack for me and people were like, what is that? You know, why is it wet? Why does it smell?
It's not string cheese.
You know, but yeah, I get it. It's kind of like who pushes the hardest, mm-hmm. and obviously, in this case, the Italians won out a little right. bit.
I do have to commend our grandfather on our dad's side, though.
Oh, yeah.
The competitiveness that we share as brothers is up. You know, it's very high to the point where our grandfather on my dad's side, he's 80, rounding 86, I believe.
God bless.
He has an Xbox One. He has a PS4. He grew up playing with us PlayStation and all of that from the age we were born. So imagine, you know, my grandpa at 86, who when I go home still is screaming into the TV with myself playing like PGA Tour, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we definitely get a lot of competitiveness.
So you two are competitive as brothers?
Incredibly.
Yeah. Incredibly so?
Yes.
And Chris, you're the older brother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's the age difference between
you two? We're 6 years apart. I'm 32. He's 26.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 6 years apart. So... Yeah,
it was always there.
It's just about perfect.
Yeah,
it's just about perfect. Right. And what are you guys most competitive over, you think?
Well, it used to be basketball.
Basketball until we play a lot of basketball. I tore my Achilles recently. I'll be back though. Okay. All right, I just want to like make that known.
But obviously now it's bocce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys play together on a team together. Mm-hmm. So you unite
right.
as brothers and play competitively. But when you play against each other. So at the Columbus Italian Club, refresh my memory, are you guys on the same team or on opposing teams?
So a few years we have been. This year I was a team captain. And in our bidding process, when you're a captain, you get $200, right?
Yeah, $200 fictional dollars.
Yeah, right, $200 fake dollars to bid on people. And I bid all my $200 on Dante. So then I was left with three randoms at the end. And everyone was like, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
Rules are rules.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out because we didn't play so well together. So
what you're saying is that the Level Brothers, it takes more than just the Level Brothers to form a team.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
You cocky son of a bitch.
Well,
you thought that if you just had the two of you, that it didn't matter who the other three were.
I blame the late night Saturdays
yeah.
for me being too tired on Mondays yeah. to perform well.
There you go.
That's all we need, bro. Yeah. High five. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the other three we got. We got this.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you get in the playoffs?
We did, barely.
Barely. Squeaked in. Oh, we barely squeaked in. That one got our butts kicked.
Yeah.
It's funny. All right, so let me go back to something I kind of teased there for a moment. I said if drinking was a sport, I would be an Olympian. Out of the other things you see in the Summer Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm. Breakdancing, as of recently, was
right?
Yeah.
Okay, breakdancing. How come no bocce? Let's be honest, and I'm being totally serious mm-hmm. now. It's a skill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a skilled sport. I mean, the guys that play it seriously take it very seriously and have a definite skill set
mm-hmm.
when they're playing the game. There's strategy. There's precision. So why wouldn't something like that be introduced into the Olympics?
So there's a couple reasons, and throughout our first year, we've kind of touched on this with some other bocce companies or groups. that know a little more have been, you know, trying at this for some years. And basically, there's a committee on the Olympic Committee, right, that looks at several task lists of what your sport needs to have. And one of them is an organization. So, like, the USBF would be an example, the United States Bocce Federation.
And there is such a thing?
There is such a thing, yes.
Okay.
They need to have, you know, inclusiveness. So, is your sport played by more than just old Italian men? Predominantly, you know.
So yes, we have Slovakians and Egyptians and Greeks.
Age range. Is there, you know, a fan base around it and so forth? And at the last Olympics, whatever it was 4 years ago, they looked at that and they said, nope, sorry, not yet. Right. So fast forward years later, you see more and more of that, more inclusiveness, more, you know, diversity in the sport, younger, older.
Well, in your opinions, what will it take to pull that trigger and say, yep, bocce, let's put it in there?
So there's a few different ways people play, right? Like French, I think they call it pétanque, bowls, right? There's so many different versions of the game that's played.
You
there's,
think maybe that's probably the problem?
There's PVR, like it's different type of rules, different type, like back wall will be dead if you touch it, and back wall is live.
Okay.
So we're trying to figure out, and I know USBF is not weird, but we're trying to assist with it, getting the word out there of, hey, you know, should we have a set of rules that everyone abides by? That way we can get this into the Olympics.
The international, yeah, mm-hmm. World, the World Federation.
And there is there are those set of rules.
Like, I kind of get that, though. Yeah. If the sport has variations on the theme and it's not a collective, you know, mm-hmm. game mm-hmm. that is played the same.
Golf, all everywhere. The same rules.
Golf
right.
is
yeah.
golf,
yeah, yeah,
right? right
yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I think about when did curling, you
I was
know,
bring do, up curling.
Did curling get into the Winter Olympics? Yeah. You know, at one point did they go, oh, yeah, everybody loves it. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's inclusive, and it is inclusive, mm-hmm. but it's...
It blew up.
It blew mm-hmm. up, and it's played the same. I mean, I don't think there's any different rules in curling than what we... See you
we
in the Olympics.
Early in the Whiskey Business episode, we interviewed our buddy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he was in the...
Too many bottles of whiskey.
He was in the local Columbus curling club.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
He's a rock star.
What's funny, and this is real quick because this is kind of a side topic. Our work does an Olympics every year. My company, I work for a healthcare IT company out in Columbus. And so all week we have Olympic events, right? You form a team, you do it. One of them is office chair curling,
nice.
Which happened today. But I kind of screwed our whole team over. I had to bump a office chair out, if you will. Mm. And my bocce mind took over, and I threw it and ran across the line, as you can do. And they called me out. We lost the game, but I had to bring that up since we're talking about curling. It happened today.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, we should do that at the radio station. Yeah.
Or go home early, take a nap.
Office chair curling. So, are you hopeful that this will? I mean, do you see it actually happening at some point?
It's not a matter of if; it's a matter of when, in my opinion, and I think the collective
in
minds,
your lifetime, boys.
I think in 4 years.
In 4 years,
2020. Actually, it would be what 2028. I think it's in America.
The goal right
it's
now.
In America. 2028.
All right. My next question is then: if bocce goes into the Olympics. Would either of you or both of you train to be on the Olympic bocce team?
100%. Why not?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I didn't really think, I always said no to that question until the USBF holds nationals every year. I didn't even know about it. It's barely advertised because, in my general opinion, they didn't do a great job of advertising it. And then I find out that the winner of the, you know, they have different events, co-ed doubles, open singles. The winner of the singles gets sent to Brazil for the, like, you know, the bell of the ball, right? And I see them competing on live streams at American Bocce Company. Shout out to them. They do a great job of promoting the game bocce that they were showing. And I was like, I know that, you know, we may not be better than them, but I know that we can compete. And I know people in Cleveland, Youngstown that don't play that type of bocce, that more organized professional court, back wall, dead, that they would move over to this, and they would
do it.
They would definitely show out.
So you guys are competitive, right? Mm-hmm. And when you started actually competing in bocce, aside from the Columbus Italian Club, how'd that go?
Not as great as we would hoped it would have.
So we've always played growing up. We play at the CIC. Anthony Cugini tells us, hey, there's tournaments in Cleveland and Youngstown all the time.
Right.
Why don't we get a team together? So our main team is us three, me, Dante, Anthony Cugini, and John Panico, who you know, mainly because we're all in Columbus. Now, we could play with Carmen, our fourth bocce bro in Youngstown. We try to, but, you know, it's tough. So we get to Cleveland. It's our first tournament. We're like, okay, we kick everyone's butt in Columbus. Just wait till they see us here. You know, this is easy. And we
kind of the same thought you had when you drafted your brother and spent the whole $200.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
Yeah.
I didn't think that through because he had just torn his Achilles.
Yeah,
exactly. So he was like rolling down the court on his little scooter. And at that point, I realized that was a bad decision. But we get to Cleveland, and we were literally out of the tournament within 2 hours. I mean, we got our butts whooped. And a lot of it is just gaining experience. And I didn't really understand it at first because, you know, we're athletes, we're competitive, we thought we were good. But it's like anything else. You go into it, it'll humble you quickly if you don't respect it.
Who beat you, younger guys or older guys?
Older guys.
Yeah, older guys. Some of the best guys we know are the guys who've been playing it for 20, even like they're actually like Frank DeSilla has only been playing for like 5 years and beats our butt.
Right, but they're in their 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And some of these guys have been playing for 30 years. Other guys have only been playing for 5 or 6 years.
What
helps them is we talked about it, experience, getting that exposure.
Yeah. Right.
What Cleveland and Youngstown have that what they have that we don't have down here is access to courts. Now, yes, we have the CIC, but they have multiple clubs, bars, restaurants.
Indoor.
Indoor especially.
All year round.
As well as outdoor.
Where else in Columbus are there any other ones around here?
There's a handful of
them.
There's
a few, but they're not like what you see in Cleveland or Youngstown.
Gotcha.
And they're all... The Cleveland Youngstown, as he alluded to, has indoor courts. So you can play all year round.
All the time.
Would you guys actually demean yourselves and just play lawn bocce without a court? Would you do that?
100%. So that's,
we do it every time we go home, back home for holidays or anything.
Right.
We my dad had a whole court lined out with paint, paint. Okay, when we got home for like.
So he actually constructed lines, and an actual lane, per se,
versus just throwing it over the roots and stuff.
But you know, if we don't have that,
you know, like you go on the beach and you take some bocce balls on the beach and you throw the lane and you throw the ball and you know you're playing beach bocce.
In order to grow this game, you're gonna have to kind of expand it in that way. It doesn't matter what surface you're on. Of course, when you get competitive, you want to have a better surface. But if you want to grow the game of bocce, you cannot be stingy with that. And we actually had someone on our podcast, I think it was from the Maestro.
Maestros, our guys. I was just saw them this weekend in Chicago. They took great care of me. But yeah, they are predominantly lawn bocce. They are, I'm not sure if they're an LLC or not, but they do a great job at promoting game of bocce.
Okay, so, but their version of lawn bocce is structured and has the proper... The length is the proper. No,
they do
yard.
They just do yard. They actually have like a tournament that is like different holes. It's like it's like golf.
Okay.
It's like golf almost, but in a sense where they have different areas.
Which kind of circles back to what we discussed in respects to this being an Olympic sport.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kind of got to get, in order for it to be an Olympic sport, everybody's got to come together and say, this is what Olympic bocce
exactly
will be.
Exactly. You could have your own type of bocce.
You could have the variations on the theme, but everybody's got to agree on Olympic bocce will be this.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And maybe that's where the controversy will come into play, because I'm sure with the various ethnic groups that play the sport, they go, well, you know, no, that's not bocce.
Yeah.
This is bocce.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's so forth and so on. Yeah. So, yeah, I could see where that would be an issue in getting everybody on the same page. But if they could just unite and agree, because everybody, despite the fact that there's a variation on the theme and everybody plays it differently, the bottom line at its core, there is a basic rule. There's the Pauline and there's the balls.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is very important what I want to discuss, because I was just in Chicago this past weekend for a bocce tournament up there. American Bocce Company hosted me. And they do backwall dead, right? They do certain international rules, where as opposed to Ohio, we predominantly do like our own thing, like backwall live. But I think as a competitor, like the Cleveland guys, Youngstown guys, like they don't care if it, like they'll agree if it's backwall, like in the Olympics, if it goes to the Olympics. they're not scared to play, like change their way to play, you know, at the top level. So I don't think there will be an issue once there's a set of rules agreed on, you know, for the Olympic level. Like, they're not going to have an issue, you know, abiding by them.
Do you remember were you guys around during the controversy when that first rule was put into place where we couldn't play off the wall anymore, when guys were throwing the ball in there and banging it off the wall, and everybody said, like, no more banging it off the wall?
We just
missed
that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Talk about dissension in the boxing ranks.
Yeah.
Which is wild. So if you're listening, you've never played bocce before, what we're saying is, if the balls are out in the court, right, and you go to shoot one out, and you miss all the balls and you hit the back wall, that ball is now taken away from the court.
Out.
It's dead.
Most courts, if you play back wall is live, like the CIC did, you have
for years.
You have some kind of stopper back there.
A swinging wall most times.
Right.
It hits that wall, and it typically, if it goes back, it'll go back 2 to 3 feet. But what I heard was, when you guys hit the back wall, it would literally go back to half court.
Oh, there'd be guys that would be just winging it, and it hit the back wall, and it would come back off the back wall about anywhere between 6 to 10 feet, depending on how hard they threw it.
It's a wild variation.
It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. So
house rules.
When you young kids introduce the no playing off the back wall, like, what? Yeah. That's my game. Yeah. That's my strategy. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
But it ended up working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it actually increase the skill level.
100%. It's grown. We've noticed it at least 100% the Italian club since they've changed some
it's
things.
It's getting much better. There's a lot of people that are more into it now. We go to these tournaments in Cleveland and Youngstown, and we try and take one or two other teams with us.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys come back, and it's kind of something I wanted to share, is the bocce community. So when we first started this, we had teams or clubs from Chicago, LA, Dallas, Rhode Island reach out to us and say, hey, we really enjoy what you guys are doing. We're a bocce club as well. Any way we can connect, this would be great, right? So we're like, oh, wow, like there's people outside of Ohio playing bocce. We didn't know this was, you know, something that was going on. And then we started going to the tournaments in Cleveland and Youngstown, and you see the same, not the same because they rotate in and out, but it's become a very tight-knit community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a guy that unfortunately passed away, and a few months later, a guy that played on a team that unfortunately passed away, and a few months later, one of the clubs held a benefit in his name. His name is Mike Contura, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It was at Wycliffe in Wycliffe, Ohio. And all these teams showed up. They supported him. I mean, that's just that's really what it turned out to be. And it reminded me of our Italian heritage.
Right.
You know, when where your grandparents grew up, same with you guys, where it's we're tight-knit. We support one another. Anything that's going on, we're there for each other. And that's what it's turned out to be.
That's kind of a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the big picture, you know,
and it
goes back to the camaraderie and the sportsmanship and I guess the unintentional bond that can be the sport of bocce. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Have you come across women that play the game well?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom's a badass bocce player. Where do you think we learned?
Yeah.
100%. Our dad kicks ass too.
Yeah.
But no, there's you know, that transition into the game, I think, as well, because it's I think it's predominantly male. However, there's a lot more women.
We've had
game.
Our podcast the Bocce Bellas, they're deemed as
the Bocce Bellas
in Cleveland. They are a group of younger ladies who play bocce together, and they, you know, talk about the woes of being a woman in bocce, where men are like
the woes,
yeah,
because it's predominantly considered to be a male sport,
and that, you know, male, like what how they put it, mansplain, is that what they say now?
Yeah.
The mansplain,
women hate
you,
to
you
be
should
mansplained.
Do this, you
Yo.
Should do that, yeah, you need the shoot, you need, yeah,
and
so
that's where Italians get dumb.
I would get, yeah, right. I would be annoyed as heck. If you know, if I, you know, was on that side of things,
well, don't you, but don't you get mansplained as a younger player by an older player?
You know,
I've been at the club where I've been criticized, and you should have done this, you should have done that by older players over the
when
years.
When I went to the Columbus Italian Club, I think I learned quickly that we knew more than about bocce.
No, I see what you're saying.
But you know what I'm saying. You're like, hey, yeah. I've been playing this game for 40 years, and what you should have done was this.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That, yeah, but so in league play, 100%. But I even noticed it at tournaments. Those guys weren't coming up to us saying, hey, you should have done this, you should have done that, or kind of scolded us. It was more...
But I've also seen some very intense players in the Columbus Italian Club, younger players, who take it very, very seriously. And actually, you know who I'm talking about.
Mad Cugini, as he's known on social media.
He's new to the club. He's fairly new to the club. And did you guys ever see Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the movie?
No,
you need to watch that movie. But there's a point in the movie where Butch and Sundance are on the run, and the posse is coming after him, and the posse is just like is resilient and determined. They won't stop, and they keep saying like, "Who are those guys?" When I saw this guy play bocce for the first time and saw how intense he was, I said, "Who is that guy? Who is that guy?" I mean, he's like super intense, which is great for the sport, but man, like, wow.
Go ahead.
What's funny about it is when we moved to Columbus and started playing bocce, we knew about, like, we saw him and his family at other tournaments. We weren't friends with him yet. We didn't know him. We played at tournaments against him, and you just were like, oh, that's the other Italian family that plays bocce, right?
Right.
Fast forward years later, and it's like, okay, now we're really good friends with him, almost like family, you know, with his family, his father, his grandmothers. We're doing this bocce brothers thing together, and it's just funny to see how it's a whirlwind.
And I'm not speaking ill of him. He's a great guy.
But when he plays
bocce, it's like, I told you, I'm not a great bocce player. I'm not even a good bocce player. I don't want to be on his team.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I have enough issues with self-esteem.
Yeah. Anthony.
I don't need to feel bad about myself.
I always tell him, like, you don't know I threw a bad ball, no freaking duh. You don't have to tell me.
If there's anyone that knows they threw a bad ball, it's themselves. Like they know, so they don't need to be scolded.
I don't need to feel bad about myself for 12 him. Mondays in a row.
Right. he's competitive though, and he and his family have been they're well known in Columbus in the bocce community, especially his grandfather Gerardo Cugini. Mm-hmm. He unfortunately passed a few years ago, and we decided to throw our own bocce tournament with Anthony at the Abruzzi Club in Westerville.
Nice.
But he's intense.
He drives us.
We're trying to, he's up here with the intense level of Monday bocce and league play, and we're trying to meet somewhere.
Chris's other job other than playing bocce at tournaments is just, you know, also keep Anthony level.
That's funny.
They're great for each other.
You got to make sure he hears this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he will. 100%. He's great. Yeah.
I would have had him on, but he scares me. So how much of Bocce Bros, how much time does it take up? You guys got regular jobs. You mentioned your job, Dante. Chris, you got a regular job, right?
Correct, yeah.
So how much time does this take up? Is it like a second job?
It is. We're a year into it, and as I said, we're trying to figure out who we are and what we're going to be. So, you know, website with one thing we did in the bocce community was we're trying to be a one-stop shop. So every tournament is on our website. You have apparel, photos of these tournaments. We're going to start posting the winners. Anything bocce related, we're going to try and post. The other thing is podcasts, social media, all that stuff. So we have all these hats, and we're trying to figure out how we could fill each hat, if we need to eliminate some and just focus on a few things. Mm-hmm. So it's going to, with time, I think we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. I think right now we understand podcasts, social media, and streaming bocce games is kind of what we're trying to figure out. It does take a lot of time, but I think, you know, how many nights a week do we go back home and watch TV?
Right.
You know, so eliminate the TV time and work on some bocce bro stuff.
You guys could be like announcers. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you could be like commentators.
We've do that. You know, we do like the side thing. We do is like Instagram Live. You could do that. That's quick. That's short. And we, like, you know, we've got mics already announced. But we're to the point where now we have cameras. We actually have a setup for announcing.
I mean, because is there anyone else in the community that does that?
That's a perfect example of what we're trying to figure out. We were at tournaments, and Dante started live streaming some of our games, and he's a great announcer. I mean, people love listening to him, especially when he announced my championship game.
Let's bring that.
He does have more CSC championships than me, though. Yeah. So let's point that out. But so we're like, okay, there's a need for this, especially when there's people. There's typically, you know, one of the tournaments in Wycliffe has over 100 teams in it. So there are people tuning in watching these games.
Quiet people watching.
Right. So, you know, we realized, okay, there's an opportunity here for us to do the live streaming, us to be analysts. You know, a lot of these tournaments where they have their championship Sundays is what they call it. They'll hire outside companies to come in and do their live streaming.
Sure.
So we're like, oh, maybe we can
do that.
We can do that.
Yeah. You know? So what would you do about the language?
What's the one above PG-13? Above PG-13, because people want that.
Bocce courts get a little raw.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, we kid about it, but you're already doing the podcast thing. We've been talking about at work the Peyton Manning and Eli Manning doing.
I love that.
Like, I think people are excited about other ways to consume sports or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So, like, you kind of have a fun little angle and go for it. And, like, all right, I always think it's funny. There's, like, these gymnasts or skaters that you never hear of, that you don't know anything about them, and then here come the Olympics, and they're, like, front and center of the entire world for, like, 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's kind of the same thing. It's like, you guys are going to could put yourself in that position where they're, like, you might not ever play in the Olympics, but you could be set yourself up to be the experts where, you know, like, well, I don't know who else to talk to. Yeah. The Bocce Brothers.
Yeah. The Bocce Bros. Let's get them. And I go back to that, you know, it being an Olympic sport. I mentioned it earlier in the podcast where anybody of any age could be that Olympic athlete if they've got the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, obviously, being younger, feel the need to be in good physical shape. And I always laugh because I one of our club members actually tore a tendon in his arm playing bocce. Mikey Two Shots, Mikey Provenzano.
Oh my God,
yeah,
really?
You know, years ago, that. Yeah. He actually tore a tendon in his arm playing bocce. And our buddy Gus Felicia is listening in the back and he's like, what happened? He goes, oh, when I was playing bocce, I go, you know what? Come up with another story. Come up with another story.
Please.
Because, you know, it doesn't seem initially to be a very physically demanding game.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're saying that the strain on the back and so forth and so on, that you probably need to be in, it would help to be in better shape.
A good example, that USBF Nationals that was just held in St. Louis, I believe. Don't quote me on that. They played from like Monday. They had to, like, you have to take off of work. It's Monday all day up until like Sunday. And there's events all, and maybe it's Tuesday, but regardless, any more than like 3 days of bocce is, you know, in a row is ridiculous. So like your body, you're going to be like on your feet all day.
You're going to be on your feet all day. And I would think that also mentally, you know, this is a game where you can get into people's heads and mentally you've got to be focused and whatnot. And if you're.
That's another thing, Dino, when you're talking about these tournaments, they start at 8 a.m. It's a Saturday. So you're going to crack open a beer.
Right.
At some point. Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you win a couple games and it's 7 p.m. and you have to go back out and play your fourth game. How many drinks have you had under your So that's another thing we're trying to figure out. Yeah. Anthony doesn't like us drinking a lot.
Yeah, so we wouldn't drink at first. So like Anthony and his dad, like, hey, one drink. You know, all right, well, you know, we're new to this tournament thing. And then we realized, like, we do way better once we have a couple.
Up a little bit.
Relax a little bit. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. A
couple sips of wine. We've had people bringing their own homemade wine, homemade, you know.
You guys brought me a bottle of homemade wine.
Yeah.
That's nice. I'm looking forward
Chris,
to that.
Yeah, that's CIC guys. So me, Mike Pizzuto, John Panico.
Again, another thing that the youth is attempting, because normally all the bottles of homemade wine that I get from club members are from older members who have been doing it for years. So you think this wine's good? You like it?
Honestly, and I paid and assisted as best I could in making the wine. I wasn't in the actual, like,
paid.
Yeah. Like, looking at
John Panico's out there.
Who was responsible for the wine?
So it's mainly Mike Pizzuto and
John Panico. Mike Pizzuto's a good person to have in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Johnny Panico, myself, Chuck Malagisi, he's good to have. Vince Alger, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a newish member.
Younger guy. You know.
But there's a good 5 to 7 of us that we did this a couple weeks ago. We went over, went to Cleveland, picked up the grapes, drove it down back here to Mike's house. We set up tents because it was raining. We took the leaves out of the grapes, put it at the grinder, did what we needed to do to get the juices out, put it down in the basement.
Okay.
And we're going from there.
So did your homework. I mean, you guys followed the method.
We were at a tournament this May, and we brought a bunch of homemade wine. Me, Mike, Panico, Dante. And we're sitting there at the picnic table, and there's this one guy raving about his wine from Cleveland. Oh, my wine's the best. It kicks this guy's butt, blah, blah, blah. Eventually, he comes over to our table. He's like, hey, let me, like, try your wine. And he tries it, and his eyes lit up. He's like, holy, you know, shit.
Your thing. Wine.
Yeah. And it was, again, mainly because of Mike and John Panico. But they really do a good job.
They know what they're doing. You said attempted, the word attempted earlier. They're done beyond attempting.
I mean,
they
was,
know
okay.
They're
yeah.
doing it. So I'm not in it. I watched them
open it up, let it breathe for a few minutes, and it'll be great.
Okay.
But that's,
I'm looking forward to it.
Again, it touches the heritage. I spoke on it earlier. We talked with Anthony about trying to find something that made us passionate. That tapped into our culture, that tapped into our heritage with our grandparents coming over here, everything we learned from them. You know, bocce's one of it. Finding the Italian club was, you know, it helped us out a lot to kind of cure that homesickness.
Mm-hmm. What brought you to Columbus?
What brought us to Columbus?
Work, school.
For me, it was work. Our older brother, Rob, he went to Ohio State and never left. And
2003, he went to Ohio State. I was 8, and I was like, I'm probably going to come here at some point. And I ended up going to Ohio State, lived with him when I first started out there. And next thing you know, all three of us are here.
Yeah, there you go. That's nice. Yeah. Families together.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you, in respects to the competitive nature of bocce, has anger in the sport ever imploded to where things have gotten ugly?
Not upon us, but we've seen other...
Unfortunately, you've seen that sometimes, and it goes back to starting at 8 in the morning, and by 7, 8 p.m. at night, you have teams that have been drinking all day, and it touches on rules, right? So in some leagues or tournaments, your front foot has to be behind the line when you throw the ball. Other tournaments and other league play, your back foot has to be behind that line when you're throwing.
So you got
to
remember all the rules.
Yeah.
And if you're new to a tournament and you see some team who has their back foot behind that line and their front foot's 3 feet over and they're throwing a ball, you're going to be like, hey, man, you're over the line. Like, that's cheating. You know, so that we've seen that before. And
so I guess I'm going to ask you, have you seen tempers flare?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Tempers flare.
We've seen scuffles, nothing scuffles, crazy. Nothing, it's like crazy. Almost like the NBA where it's just like, you know, a bunch of, hey, F you, and just a bunch of pushing until it calms down. The team wins and you have a beer after.
Nobody getting beat up or shot or killed or anything.
No,
over
just
there.
A lot of. Yet. It's only happened. It's we've been to what, 50 tournaments. Let's say it's happened to one or two. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's seldom, but you have a bunch of Italians drinking wine, alcohol, and
what's going to happen?
You know, there's going to be, it's just talking at that point.
One court in Cleveland, it's like a sports plant, like a factory that's turned into a bunch of different sports areas, has 6 bocce courts in one room. And then right next to the bocce courts is a UFC octagon and a boxing ring. So it's like, hey, let's throw the Italians where the fighting stuff is at.
Let's go. Yeah. Go from bocce to the ring. All
right, you two, get in the ring.
That's green? How about you meet me in the ring?
I know you guys are taking this seriously because during the pandemic, you guys actually tried to construct something inside the club. I didn't get to see it. I was never present for any of it. But you guys actually tried to play bocce inside our clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And how that
it went
work?
Great. Yeah, it went very well.
Yeah, I was a sergeant at arms, and I said, I want to play bocce in the winter. We could do it responsibly, you know, social distancing. I think I'm just going to go buy PVC pipe and see how it works. And I bought like half of these stuff just to see if it worked, and I returned the rest. I went back 20 minutes later, got all of it. We had like over 40 some people interested in playing, which is amazing, you know, for our club in the pandemic.
Sure.
And we did it successfully. What was nice though, because the club was pretty much closed. There's no rentals. Sure.
Right.
We're going to do it again this year.
I was going to say, you're going to do it again?
We're going to do it. It's just going to take a little more work, and we're going to have to set it up that night. And
you're
going to
have more people.
Yes, I believe we are.
You're
going to
have more people.
I believe we are.
There might be more days throughout the week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you use as the, like...
So we have carpet.
Okay,
just
carpet.
Normal carpet, which actually is, like, more accurate to, like, what the professionals would be playing on, like a fast surface, you know, smooth. There's a, it's funny because there's a break
and like it, the floor leans one way completely.
It's like the green in, yeah, in golf. You gotta,
we have a break. We have a break on our floor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, big time. But it's just like anything. Hey, everyone plays the same break. Just learn how to use it.
All these years that I've stumbled, it wasn't me. It was the break on the floor.
100%.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it wasn't all the alcohol. All right. So as we start to wrap up here a little bit, what's the ultimate goal of Bocce Bros? I mean, where you started and where you're at, and where do you want to be before it's all said and done? What would be, you know, if, because everybody that starts a business, a company, an idea has an ultimate view of where they would like to be someday. So where would this? What would you like to see this become?
So our main goal is to grow the sport as much as we can. We talked about the Olympics, right?
With that being huge. Olympics, that's one of the
main goals. We talked about ESPN. ESPN Ocho has pool. They have
air guitar competitions. Spike ball.
Right.
And they don't have bocce.
No.
Yeah.
And
that seems like a no-brainer.
You're right.
But the reason why is because it just hasn't been highlighted in an excited in an exciting fashion.
I've watched people bag groceries on ESPN Ocho. There was a grocery bag competition on ESPN Ocho. Oh, and I watched it.
Stone skipping.
I watched it.
Did George win last year?
There was somebody from Ohio that won. That's why I was interested.
No, Tony and Kroger is pretty good.
Yeah. Like, there was that's a thing.
Yeah.
And they broadcast it. So come on.
All right. No, I agree. And what's nice about our social media right now and the feedback that we're getting is, hey, we love it. Like, you guys are making it entertaining for us to go on your page and see what you're posting about bocce. So, you know, getting it on ESPN, that would be awesome. Just figuring out ways to highlight the sport the way it should be highlighted.
They're ambassadors.
100%. Bocce ambassadors, 100%. And there's a lot of us, not just, you know, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's, you know, a couple groups of us out there helping to push forward. And
being from Youngstown, you have the Mahoning Valley Restaurant, a.k.a. the MVR. It was the first bar to have a liquor license in Ohio, I believe. And
didn't know that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Kind of a random thing.
Road trip.
It's
a great restaurant. The food is amazing.
Italian, obviously.
Have four bocce courts, and they're going, they're currently under renovation to basically redo everything. They're going to add a fifth one. It's going to be basically a bocce mecca.
Yeah.
We want to do something like that here. And figure out ways to grow that, because we think one of the reasons why the sport isn't being grown is because it's just limited right now. There's really no opportunities for people to play.
Yeah, well, and they have in Columbus, Ohio, they have the pins mechanical, you know, like the duck pin bowling, what they call it. And like, it just kind of, if you build it, they will come. Those places are packed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody knows how to fucking play the game, or nobody even wants to play the game.
Right.
But they get loaded and they wait for 4 hours to play that stupid game.
100%.
So if you had the bocce thing, people would go.
And trust me, there's a lot of bowlers, as you guys mentioned earlier, they're like, I bowl. I can do this.
Yeah.
Right. I can play this. And then they would realize, well, wait a minute. And then anybody that's even slightly competitive would probably
get the itch.
Deeper.
You get the
and
itch.
Get the itch and be better at it. Mm-hmm. Give us all the information on Bocce Bros. How do people find you? How do people connect with you? Give us all that information right now.
Everything is under @TheBocceBros. So you can go to TheBocceBros.com. And then any social media platform, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
TikTok.
Anything and everything. Our website. You can, thebocce bros.com. We actually are trying to, like Chris said earlier, make it a stop for, you can see bocce clubs on there. You can see bocce tournaments. That's a big one. A lot of people in the Northeast Ohio area go to our website to see what are the tournaments coming up, what are the past tournaments on there. If you want a bocce, you know, crew neck like this, you can go on our website. But again, you know, we're diving into the realm of live streaming, live games. You know, you can subscribe to our YouTube. Check out, we always do fun videos, Chris and I, and, you know.
You have to check out our
I've watched some of Dante's videos. Yeah. He's really good. Really good.
Yeah, I like to mess around him.
You're really good stuff.
You have to check out our Bocce Balboa video.
Yeah, I did.
Did you see that?
I've seen the Bocce Balboa.
Bocce Balboa 2 will be.
So you know, Bocce Balboa 2?
Oh, there's always
Bocce Balboa 2? Is it out already?
No, it's not. We have to wait for it to snow.
Yeah, Russia. That's the Russian.
Ivan Drago.
Yeah, after an Achilles tear.
He dies.
We need to get our mutual friend Stacy McKay one of those sweatshirts.
100%. So we were.
What do you mean? She's an Italian. Northerner.
She's a
Clevelander.
Oh, Clevelander. Oh, then she.
We'll give her a Cleveland bocce shirt.
You too. You as well. We got one coming for you as well. We
were hoping to have more.
Double XL. Let's not kid ourselves.
Okay. How about you guys? We'll get all their sizes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, guys, thank you. This has been delightful, informative.
Yeah,
it's been awesome.
I didn't want, and I'm glad that you guys have a mission.
Yeah,
you know, you have a plan. You know, mm-hmm. What started, let's be honest, maybe started as a kind of a whim,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. And then all of a sudden, you go to Youngstown, and someone says, "Hey, I like that shirt. Where can I get some?" You're like, ding.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
Right.
For months, we tried figuring out, hey, what business can we start? What can we do on the side?
And how great is it to do something that to have a business be something that you actually love and have passion
about? You said earlier, does it feel like a second job? And I was like, no, it doesn't yet.
Yeah,
because I've had so much fun while spending my nights, you know, working on stuff. Like, I've had fun doing it.
No, that's the best job in the world. Yep. You know,
no doubt.
Do what you love what you do. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
must be.
I'll cheers to that.
We still be in radio.
Yeah. We cheers. We cheers to start it. We cheers to end it.
There you go. All right. As we wrap up this evening, Mr. Hansberg, a little bit more business before it's all said and done.
You know, I forgot to mention our YouTube page at the beginning. Sorry, John.
How dare you? How dare you?
Because it's really actually our finest product.
Make an even bigger deal about it right now.
I'm going to.
We started
YouTube Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis, but John does a great job with all our videos. And John, they're unedited, so I don't know. You guys are podcasters, so the videos are unedited.
I love that. I watched a couple of them.
Yeah, and I cleaned mine up. So this podcast is always like 20 minutes shorter than the video. So if you always want to see the bullshit behind the scenes,
And Nicolas Cage, USSR. Nicolas
Cage. USS Indianapolis. But also, you know, you can see these wonderful shirts that these young men are. And is this a hat, too?
Yeah.
Youngstown. We have all types, all cities, anything custom.
So go on YouTube to see these hats and outfit shirts. WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, EvergreenPodcast.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Crackle.
Crackle.
Or you can watch the new Nicolas Cage show. Right.
Every once in a while, I remember to say that Whiskey Business is a Never the Luck production, produced admirably and excellently by Greg Hansberry on the audio side. And of course, the amazing, there's the thumb that's launched hundreds of YouTube videos, John Whitney. Could not do the podcast without them. My many thanks to both of you, Dante, Chris. Continued success, man, and this has been a blast.
Thank you.
It's been a blast. It's been a long time coming. We talked about this for a while. Mm-hmm. We tried to schedule one time before. Dante fucked it up.
no comment. I plead the fifth.
But we got it.
And you're going to be on our podcast.
Yes.
Right?
I would love to be on your
podcast. Yes, Bocce Bros podcast.
As much as I love doing this podcast, I love being a guest on other podcasts because there's no pressure.
Exactly. Yes. Come and tear it up around our podcast.
I'd be happy to. I would love to. Yeah. You let me know, and I'm there. And so, my friends, we're going to take a little break for Thanksgiving, but we'll be back after that with a couple of episodes in December, including our Christmas show. Check out our previous podcast. Nikki Winkelman is out there right now with The Color of My Pee. It's a very funny and insightful podcast. And also the one before that, Matt Benjamin, The Trip to Ayahuasca, which is pretty fascinating as well. All kind of stuff on Whiskey Business from A to Z. So thank you for subscribing and thank you for listening. And until the next bottle, see you.
Mad Magazine.
Advertising mascots.
B-movie posters.
And cartoons.
Oh yeah, can't forget cartoons.
If you get the funky connection that ties these pop culture gems together, you'll dig two designers walk into a bar.
See, we're a couple of creatively curious pals living between the bookends of grand museums and dive bars.
Hey, you know the place, the sweet spot where highbrow and lowbrow become drinking buddies.
So join our barroom chats as we talk influential work and uncover stories of how the familiar became iconic. Think behind the music for the stuff we love.
Check out our website at twodesignerswalkintoabar.com.
And listen wherever you get your podcasts or visit evergreenpodcasts.com.